Welcome aboard the Bible Bus. I'm Steve Schwetz, your host, here on Through the Bible, and today we're getting ready to cross the Jordan and move into new territory. If you recall, we're in the beginning pages of the book of Joshua. Now, after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, the children of Israel, now under Joshua's new leadership, are ready to go get what God promised them. We're going to hear some strategy for entering the land from two faithful spies. Now, as you find your seat on the bus and get your Bible open to Joshua chapter 1, I'd like you to hear about a ministry to Central Asia that you're a part of as we work and pray together that God will take His whole word to the whole world. Through the Bible's president, Greg Harris, recorded this report to share with you about God's word going into isolated Central Asia in a special Russian dialect which reaches people in the Muslim nations of Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, Kyrgyzstan, Tajikistan, and Turkmenistan. Here's Greg.
The mission that Dr. McGee gave us to take his teaching of the whole Word of God to the whole world has been blessed by God in amazing ways. Through the Bible is touching some of the most remote and unreached parts of our world today. Our Central Asian Russian broadcast is a specially produced language for Russian speakers who come from a Muslim background. And as you mentioned, our broadcasts cover a huge territory that includes many of the, quote, Stan countries, that is, former Soviet republics whose names end in Stan, such as Kazakhstan and Uzbekistan. Now, this special Russian broadcast is very strategic because missions experts tell us that Central Asia is the most unreached region of the world today, with less than 1/20 of 1% of its population being Christian. So not only is the teaching of God's word desperately needed in this spiritually parched region, but persecution is also a reality for those who choose to become disciples of Jesus Christ. Let's listen to this moving letter from one of our listeners. I'm 44 years old. Everyone in my village is of the Islamic faith. Just imagine me being the only Christian living among all these Muslims. Brothers and sisters, the only thing that makes me happy living here in my village are your radio programs. They encourage me and they calm me. All of the books I had were taken away. Many churches in this region have been closed. Many brothers and sisters are being persecuted, and I am one of them. Now, other responses that we receive from this region attest to the reality of persecution of Christians. One listener wrote to tell us that three government authorities arrived at his door and searched his house without warning. They confiscated his New Testament, and they took the letters that he had received from the TTB producer. They interrogated him while screaming and yelling threats at him. He was taken to court, forced to pay a large fine, and told not to communicate with the TTB producer. And when we hear what our brothers and sisters around the world are suffering, it's such a privilege for us to bring them the teaching of God's word every day so that they can receive new strength and grace to face these kinds of hardships. And that's why we need our friends here in North America to pray for our international broadcasts, and especially for those who listen to them.
You can pray with us for the effectiveness of this strategic outreach to people living in these incredibly isolated places and all over the world when you sign up for our world prayer team at ttb.org/pray. Now let's commit this time to the Lord. Father, only through your hand of favor and opportunity can your word reach people near and far at their points of greatest need. We bless your name, Lord, and we ask that it be known throughout the earth. Teach us now through your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now here's Through the Bible with our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, friends, we began last time in the book of Joshua and just got our foot in the door. This book comes right after the five books of Moses. And actually, you have the nation Israel very predominant in this book, of course. And in the book of Genesis, they were born. And in the book of Exodus, they were chosen. In the book of Numbers, they were proven. In the book of Leviticus, they were brought nigh by the blood. And in Deuteronomy, they were instructed. Now here in Joshua, there is conflict and conquest. And this is the book of the heavenlies. And as we've indicated before, this is the book that lays hold of the great spiritual verities that are ours today. And the corresponding book for us in the New Testament, of course, is the little epistle to the Ephesians. It is the epistle of the heavenlies. And we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings and the pattern and the method and the great spiritual lessons here are for us today. But we'll see the correspondence as we go along. Now, I suppose that one of the greatest statements that was made here was verse 3, and that to me is the very key of the book. Is every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Well, they'd have to walk up and down and lay hold of the land, although God had given it to them. It was theirs as an eternal possession. But if they are to possess it and to enjoy it, and get the fruits of it, and rejoice in it, why, they must tread upon it. They must go into that land and walk up and down. How are they to walk up and down? They were to lay hold of it, wrest it from an enemy, and a living from the soil, which they did, by the way. But did they do it, or did God do it? Well, you have in Ephesians for us, Paul says, I beseech you as a prisoner of the Lord, that ye walk worthy of the high calling wherewith you're called. Now, if you and I today are going to possess our spiritual possessions, why, we must walk according to the way God has outlined it for us. It must be in lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit, and then to recognize that it is only what God does in and through us, that is important, that counts. Therefore, we ought to be able to say, as Joshua was, and as the psalmist David said in Psalm 115:1, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory. And today, we do not get the victory. He gets the victory. It's possessions that we get. The spiritual blessings become ours when the victory is his. Now again, Paul said to a young preacher, it's not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, which he shed abundantly on us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. And then in Ephesians 2:8 and 9, by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And Hebrews 11:8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out unto a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. He went out, not knowing whither he went. Now, he could still be in Ur of the Chaldees and say he believed God, and it wouldn't amount to anything, because his words would be idle words, meaningless words. The way that you reveal your faith is by your action, that is, as far as this world is concerned. Abraham, he moved out, he obeyed God, and that, my friend, is what it means to trust God, is to cast yourself upon him. Now, this man Joshua, he believes God. God's encouraging him and tells him now to step out. And that which is to be his authority will be the Word of God. It's not to depart out of his mouth. He should meditate in it. And the third thing, he's to do according as it is written. And so that is the formula of faith. That is the method. If there is a method, That is it. And so we have before us here this man now stepping out in a very marvelous, wonderful way. Now we come to verse 10. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, now will you notice he took charge, by the way. This man Joshua, he didn't do it in presumption, I do not think, but he did it in confidence. He commanded the officers of the people. Why? Because God has told him. And God had said to Moses, you'll recall, God says, I will be with you. You remember when he went down into the land of Egypt after being in Midian? It was with a little fear, but God says to him, I'll be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. That's God's method. And God said to Jeremiah when he called him, in a difficult, dark day, they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I'm with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. And certainly you could say, as the psalmist said, the Lord is my helper. Confidence in God and courage against man. That's the thing that characterized Joshua now. God says, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. And we're told that there are exceeding great and precious promises for us today. And we can say, it's in Hebrews 13:6, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I'll not fear what man can do unto me. We need this kind of conviction and courage today, that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. You see, when David first said that, he turned his mind and heart away from that which was seen to that which was unseen. It means that he became occupied with the living and true God. And it means that he recognized and realized the spiritual bond was between him and the Lord. As had been said to him by another, you are wrapped up in the bundle of life with God. David now can say, the Lord's my helper. He is the one that can deliver me. So this man Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host. Command the people, saying, prepare you victuals. For within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. Now the thought that we have suggested, it's in our notes, is that it's possession. That is the great theme of this book. It's a key word. It's the most important one, possession. Israel's ownership to that land was unconditional, but Israel's possession of it was conditional. They had to go in and take it. Now, someone has said the key word is victory. I don't think so. God gets the victory, and Israel gets deliverance and possession. What a wonderful thing that was. You're to go in now and possess the land. But now there's something else I want you to note here that you might pass over. You're going to find that a little later on, when they got into the land, the manna ceased, and they had to depend on the old corn of the land. It's what they captured, actually, because it was old corn. They didn't have a chance to grow it. Now, you have here an interval between the time the manna ceased till they got the old corn. Well, what did they get? Well, they got what was on the land. They were actually now living on the land, and God says for them to prepare victuals for 3 days. Now, it couldn't have been manna because that did not last but one day, you see. They had to gather it every morning. That's the reason we're told in Scripture, in Ephesians, by the way, to be filled with the Spirit. That's not a one-time job. You don't go down to the filling station one time and tell the man at the filling station, fill her up, and then you seal the thing off because you say, I won't ever need any more gas. That'd be presumptuous. It would be foolish, be perfectly stupid. But a lot of Christians today think that they can have one experience and that's it. My friend, if you're going to walk with him and live for him, you'll need a daily filling of the Holy Spirit of God. In fact, I'm not sure but what you'll need it in the morning and in the evening. Well, wait just a minute. I fill up the physical man 3 times a day. And maybe I ought to fill up the spiritual man 3 times a day. Wouldn't hurt to wake up in the night and fill him again, because we need a constant filling of the Holy Spirit, of looking to Him and resting upon Him. Now, we've come to something quite interesting here. In verse 12, we're told, "And to the Reubenites and to the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying." Now, here are the 2 tribes, Reuben and Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. Now, you'll recall that they had come to Moses, and they asked for land on the east side of the Jordan River. In other words, they were not to cross over. And they actually were asking for land on the wrong side of the Jordan River. Their possessions are on the wrong side. Now, a lot of believers are just like that today. We haven't got to the crossing of the Jordan yet. When we get to that, we're going to see a great spiritual truth. The crossing of the Jordan River is not our crossing in death into heaven. That's not it at all. When I stood on the banks of the Jordan River and I thought of that song, "On Jordan's stormy banks, I stand and cast a wistful eye." You know, I had to laugh how utterly ridiculous that song really is. May I say to you, that's a mighty little stream where I was down at Jericho. It was a mighty little thing. Several of the group wanted to be baptized there. And I said, "No, not me. I think you could catch every disease under the sun being baptized in that dirty water that is there." And somebody's going to say, "My, you're, sir, being irreverent about that holy, sacred Jordan River." Well, friends, you can take a look at it for yourself, and there's nothing very attractive about it. Now, what does it speak of? It speaks of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. And you and I possess our spiritual possessions through the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is at the right hand of God." Now, that's what the writer, Paul, said to the Colossians. And I believe that that's the thing that believers need to do today, is to seek those things which are above. Now, you get that by crossing the Jordan River. Now, here are 2.5 tribes. They didn't cross over. And there are a great many Christians today that are living the Christian life, not knowing that they've been buried with Him in His death and burial and resurrection. They do not reckon on it, and they do not yield themselves to Him. And then they wonder what's wrong with their Christian life. Well, this is what's wrong with it, my friend. This is a rich section, you see. And Joshua says, "Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, The Lord your God hath given you rest and hath given you this land. Your wives and your little ones, your cattle, shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them." In other words, the army of the 2.5 tribes did have to cross over. They did have to enter in. Because you can't fight the Lord's battles, friends, without His victory. That is the thing. You have to put on the whole armor of God, you see. And that armor of God is Christ. That armor is His work of redemption for us. And that's the only way you're going to be able to fight. That's the great message that is there. But we're going to see that again. But when we get to the book of Judges, you're going to find out they made a big mistake in staying on the wrong side of the Jordan River. And you remember when Christ crossed the Sea of Galilee and He came to the country of the Gadarenes? What were they doing? They were in the pig business. You know, they started off on the wrong side of Jordan. A lot of Christians today in the pig business, and they ought to enter into the rest He's provided in His death and resurrection. That's in the book of Joshua here, by the way. Now, we come to chapter 2. And you are introduced now to a woman of a very shady character. She was a prostitute. Her name is Rahab, and she's labeled in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, actually among the heroes of faith. She's a heroine of faith. And by faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believe not when she received the spies in faith. Now, I do not like to think of Hebrews 11 as heroes of faith. It puts emphasis on man, on humanity. I like to put the emphasis on faith. This is what faith did in all ages, under all circumstances, in the lives of men and women, and it means it can do the same thing for us, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Therefore, it's for us. Now, if God could have saved the harlot of Jericho, do you think he would have saved the mayor of the town, or could have saved the mayor of the town? Well, I don't know. The mayor of the town could have been lots worse than Rahab. They are in some places. But the fact of the matter is, he could have saved the mayor of the town. I'm confident, because he saved this woman. And how did he save her? By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not. And did you know she's in the genealogy of Christ? The New Testament opens with that genealogy. And you don't read down five verses in the New Testament till you come to this woman. She's very prominent, by the way. And how did she get in the genealogy of Christ? She got in by her faith. And we're going to see that as we enter this. I'm afraid I won't get very far today, but we'll go into that next time and then see the passage over Jordan. Let me begin reading in chapter 2. And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Chittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. Now you'll notice that the two that are sent to spy, somebody says they did that before and they made a mistake. Well, they sent spies before to see if they could take the land. The spies are not being sent this time to see if they could. They're being sent to find out the best way to enter the land. They're going into the land. Again, in verse 1, and they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country. And the woman took the two men, hid them, and said thus, there came men unto me, but I know not whence they were. Came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I know not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house, hid them with the stalks of flax which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan under the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. Now this woman, she had faith, but she lied about that, friends. She told the king of Jericho an awful thing, but it was to protect these men. But she actually jeopardized her life. Now why would she do that? Why would she put her life on the line like this? She didn't have to. And she's in a business, by the way, where anything goes, and she could have pursued any kind of conduct and gotten by with it. But notice what she's doing here, and she's jeopardizing her life. Why did she do it? We'll have to wait till next time to see that, but there's a reason for it. And then we see the children of Israel as they get ready to go over the Jordan River. I don't know whether we'll be able to cross with them tomorrow or not, or next time, but there's one thing for sure. We're going to cross with them sooner or later. So until next time, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
Good. We have something to look forward to. If you want to learn more about what Dr. McGee meant about crossing over Jordan, specifically about how to lay hold of the spiritual blessings that God has promised to us this side of heaven, then let me point you to our website, ttb.org, and to the resource section where you'll find Dr. McGee's booklet called Have You Crossed Over Jordan? Download it for free or read it there. It's available to help you grow in your understanding of God's Word. There's also a CD available of that same message in our online store. Now, we're happy to help you find any of these resources and more. Just get in touch with us today. Call 1-800-65-BIBLE. That's 1-800-652-4253. Or email BibleBus@ttb.org or send your request to Box 7100, Pasadena, California, 91109. In Canada, Box 25325, London, Ontario, N6C, 6B1. All of this information is available on ttb.org. We'll continue our journey through Joshua tomorrow. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll be here, saving you a seat on the Bible bus.
Jesus made it home. Unto him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain.
We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners, who are being used by God to take the whole Word to the whole world.